Blog Talk Radio.
The enemy came up against your home. The enemy came up against your children. The enemy came up against your name. The enemy came up against your character. You will win, win. You will win, win. The enemy came up against your health. The enemy came up against your finance. The enemy came up against your vision. The enemy came up against your business. You will
somebody up in here tonight, that there is something on the inside of you
said everything attached to you wins. Can you point to your neighbor and tell them everything attached to you wins? Come on, let's just tell them everything attached to you wins. I just tell them, say it's your winning season.
It's your winning
season. You've got God to carry you. You've got God to carry you. That's what he's gonna do tonight. Cause you can't afford to lose again. You can't afford to lose again. Oh, it's your winning season. Last time, everything attached to me what I need you to do, because I realize that you can't say you are a winner but look defeated. I need you to get up out of your seat and high five 10 people across this room. Don't just stay at your rope, tell them across the room that you will win. Come on, high five 10 people and tell them you will win. You will win. God don't work failures. God don't call you defeated. You are a winner.
Amen, amen. Make sure you prepare to put on that crown. First, give honor to God, who is the head of our life. Welcome to Our Gospel Connection. I'm your host, Pastor Kashima Douglas. It is Women's Day Thursday, and I am so ready to hear this awesome word from Apostle Barnes this morning. Get ready, get your pen, your paper, get your Bible. Get ready to hear this word from this powerful, phenomenal woman of God. The scripture for this morning is Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak, or if you need prayer. Definitely want to give the shout-outs. We do this every morning for all the countries that's listening in. Of course, the United States, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Zimbabwe, Russia, Bulgaria, Hong Kong, China, Saudi Arabia, Germany, Jamaica, Kenya, South Africa, Nigeria, Ghana. Know that we are praying for you all. We know that you can't openly praise God and worship God, but you have fellow people over here on this side of the country that's praying and supporting you on this end. You're not doing it in vain. Please do not stop. Continue to stay on the path. Continue to fight. God sees and knows all. You're not in this by yourself. Keep pushing through. Know that God is the head, and he understands what you have to go through to get where you need to be. God never said it was going to be easy, but it's well worth it. Continue to have that faith size of a mustard seed and watch God move. Father, we ask you to come on the line this morning and have your way. Holy Spirit, work like you normally do. Less of the woman of God and more of you, Father God. Speak through her. Let your people be able to hear and understand the words that's coming out of her mouth specifically for them. Know that it is all well, in Jesus' name, amen. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak, or if you need prayer. We're going to go to a commercial break, and then we'll be back. Thank you for listening to Worldwide Gospel Connection.
Spirit God, send your spirit God. come to us, we come alive.
Your spirit, God, send your spirit.
Amen, amen. I'm not going to get on here and preach because the woman of God is going to come on here and give you a word from God. But remember, 2 Timothy 1:7 states, "But God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of sound mind and love." 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the power and of love and a sound mind," said correctly. Nothing you have to go through. Let me correct myself. Life is hard. Of course it is. But you know who you can go to. You know the one specific person you can call, and he can make a way out of no way. The storm had came to test you. It doesn't mean you failed. It's just testing you. Get back up. Wipe yourself off. Remember, just man falls 7 times. Get yourself back up. Dust yourself off. Know that you're a king's kid. You're a royal priesthood. Stand on God's word. If you don't read your Bible, find you a scripture a day to start off and gradually go to more and more. Nothing's easy. God forgave you last night. He forgave you this morning. Stop worrying about what other people think of you. Just focus on what God thinks of you. So what they said things about you. They talked about Jesus Christ, but he still died on the cross for you and I. He didn't go through all of that for anything. He went through that because he loved you. You are worth it. Stop letting the enemy have you thinking that you're not worth it, because you are. You are loved. If haven't anybody told you they love you, let me tell you, I love you. Even the strong get weary sometimes. People think because you have a title that you don't get weary, that you don't go through. That's not true. They go through the hardest titles, the hardest times, I mean. People want that title, but do you have any idea what you have to go through to get that title or when you get that title? It's just another word in front of your name. But the path you have to go through to get it, the extra demons and his little gimps and punks and followers that he have with him attack you more and attack who you love, it's not easy. Your testimony is for someone that can save their life. What you went through can help the next person. You don't have to speak in tongues or preach loud. That's not for everybody. If you do, that's fine. But you can still preach the word of God. I used to hear that all the time because of what I used to do, that I wasn't equipped to preach the word of God. So what? I sold dope. So what? I pimped women. So what? I was in a gang. And Moses was a murderer. David was an adulterer and a murderer. God still used him. He can still use you. Nobody's untouchable when it comes up to the word of God. This having the faith side of a mustard seed can move mountains. I'm not perfect. No, I'm not. And I'm not afraid to share my story about where I came from, because it was nobody but God. I had a praying grandmother that prayed for Kishima. I had a praying grandmother that stayed on her face for me in spite of what I was doing, and I know I was doing wrong. But at that time, I didn't know who I was in God. You can't continue to live off your grandmother's prayers. You have to have that one-on-one relationship with God for yourself. That's all he desires, that one-on-one time. I guarantee if you try, your life would never be the same, because mine sure wasn't. One time. He loved you. Stop focusing on what you did back then. Stop focusing on the mistakes you made. Okay, we all make them. Now it's time for you to stand up. Hold your head up, stick your chest out, put your armor on. The first thing you need to put on is the helmet of salvation, so the enemy can stop attacking your mind. Because once he knows he have your mind, everything else will follow. Everybody go through depression. Okay, wipe it off. Call on Jesus. You have to have a college degree to talk to him. You can talk to him just like I'm talking to you, and he'll still be right there for you. Lean on him. Remember, he is here for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Man will leave, but God will not. Mom and dad, husband, wife, sister, brother, daughter, son, cousin, friend, they will leave, but God will never leave you. Remember, nowhere in the Bible said God said it's going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. Just that little bitty faith. A mustard seed is a dot on a piece of paper. Literally, it's just that small. We're on the World Gospel Connection to encourage and inspire you to not give up. That you are loved, beautifully and wonderfully made. God already knows what he wrote out for you. It's time for you to understand what he wrote out for you. Remember, the enemy's seen your future. He knows what you're capable of. So that's why he's fighting you so hard. But don't fold, sweetheart. Don't fold, woman of God. Don't fold. Trust and believe that God will make a way for you. I just want to get on here and tell a brief story about it, about me. I'm not perfect. I'm just Kashima Douglas. Right? You say past and prophet, it doesn't matter. I'm just Kashima. Serving God, because he's the only way I can make it. I don't want to get in front of him. He said, depart. I want to be right there to be able to see my grandmother who prayed for me to get where I'm at today because of God and her seeing who I was. Again, this is War Gospel Connection. I'm your host, Pastor Kashima Douglas. My guest is Apostle Barnes is coming on. Excuse me, correct myself. Get your pens and paper ready and get ready here to hear this phenomenal woman of God give you what God gave her. Apostle Barnes, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. I'm here.
Good morning, Apostle. The floor is yours. Let the Lord use you like I know he is.
Yes, ma'am. It's an honor, and I'm so grateful. Thank you all so much for the opportunity to even come and just labor with you on this morning. It's definitely an honor to even be here. We woke up with the activity of our limbs. We're in our right mind. We didn't wake up to bad news, so we give the Lord glory for those things. But it's definitely an honor. I'm definitely not going to be on here very long, but I'm just going to give what the Father had given. And I'm excited about what the Father is doing in this hour in the lives of his people. But if it's okay, do you mind if I pray first? Father, I
glorify you. Yes, ma'am, of course.
Father, we give you honor. Father, we give you praise. You're an amazing God. You're an amazing King. You're so faithful. You're so merciful. You're so loving, Father. We just glorify you, oh God. We thank you that we're in the land of the living, Father. We just thank you, Father. Once again, we exalt you, oh God. You're the God who indeed answers by fire. You're the God, Father, that reigns above all. No one even comes close to you. No one compares to you. And, Father, we adore you. Father, we honor you. Father, we pray that you will set us apart for your most holy use even on this day, even as your word is going forth, Father. We pray to you, oh God, that it will touch someone, those who are listening, Father, that it will encourage, that it will empower, that it will strengthen those who are listening, Father, that they will understand that now they're able to go a little further. They're able to go further than what they were before. And, Father, you be glorified, Father. We thank you, oh God, that your will is being done on earth as it is indeed being done in heaven, Father. So, Father, we just thank you, and we give you glory, and we give you honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So I just wanted to speak very, very briefly. I do have a scripture reference. However, it's just going to just add to what the Father had given. But I'm excited about what the Father is doing because I know we've heard things like this time and time again. However, those who were once considered underdogs, this is the time that the Father is allowing us to have a great reveal. This is the time that many are being uncovered. Those who have been hidden, those who have placed themselves back in the cave, This is a time, Father, that the Father has you to come out. This is a time where you are no longer hidden. You have been pruned. You have already been tested. You have already been tried. You've already been put to the test, and you have passed. You have come out with flying colors. You went through the fire, and yet you have not become burned, and you will not be burned. So it's definitely an amazing place to be right now. So the Father is releasing many of us into a greater level of anointing. We're entering into a new level of glory, even in this hour. And I'm really excited about it. I know we hear even in Isaiah 43 and 19, we were talking about the Father doing a new thing. He is constantly doing things. And the sad thing is that many of us still aren't perceiving it. And we understand it even goes further more, paraphrasing. When you go into the message, it talks about your head even swimming. But the sad thing is that many people won't even understand that things are happening so fast, that God is opening doors. He's answering prayers. And things are happening so quickly because they remain stuck in the past. They remain stuck in what was familiar. And they're not coming out of the place where they were because they're still focusing on the things that worked for them in the place where they once dwelled. And the Father is bringing you out of that place of stagnation. The Father is calling you forward. He doesn't want you into a place where you're sitting and you're just reluctant. You're looking around about what he's doing with everyone else, and you find yourself in the same shambles. You find yourself in the same position, in the same place. The Father desires more. He is requiring more of you in this hour. You're not just to sit around and look and see what he's doing for everyone else, but you yourself are going to be able to taste and see that he is indeed good. You yourself are going to have a testimony. You yourself will begin to testify of the goodness of God and how he has indeed bought you out, and how even the things in which you have experienced, he has brought you over and out of circumstances and situations where you yourself don't even know how you got out of it. It seemed as though it was so hard. And you said, Father, if only you just open the door. Father, if only you just make a way. If only you would just provide this way of escape, and the Father has provided a way of escape. The Father has provided many open doors. So now it's just a matter of, what are you going to do? Are you going to go through these doors dancing? Are you going to run through these doors singing? Or are you going to sit and watch the door open as if you're waiting for an elevator to open and close in front of you? This is not the time for you to miss the moment that the Father has for you. We are in very serious times, and this is not the time to miss the moment that the Father has for you, this moment that you are in. And we know that moments matter, the moment that we are in right now. This is the moment that matters. Some of us, this moment, this morning, right now, at 8:35 a.m. Central Standard Time, the Father didn't want many of y'all to miss the moment. Even if it was just for a form of encouragement, a word of encouragement, even if it was just to be in the company of other believers who felt the same, who experienced the same situation, but by the grace of God, they have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They understand that they have a story, and they are no longer afraid to tell it. They're no longer to the point where they're ashamed because of what they have experienced. The Father dealt with them, and now they're no longer dealing with the spirit of perversion. The Father healed them from that. The Father freed them from those things. They're no longer dwelling on the past where they were molested and raped, and people are no longer able to deal in that area where your pain point. Most people, we're in this place where we have not been fully healed or recovered from those pain points. So even furthermore, when you receive a word of encouragement or a word that the Father has already done it, things are going to happen for you. You're still focused on the pain point. And when a person begins to minister to you, they reach you from a place of pain as of a place of healing, and where the Father is leading you. So you're no longer going to be dealing and operating and functioning and existing from a place of pain. You're no longer going to be operating from that place anymore. You're no longer going to be ministering and singing and worshiping and even working and dealing even with your business and those you come and connected to. You are no longer going to be operating from a place of pain. Whom the Father sets free is free. We know it says whom the Son, but they're three in one. Whom the Father sets free, they're free indeed. You're constantly being delivered. So once you are free, you're free. But the thing is, you cannot be entangled by those yokes of bondage again. So many of us, we have entangled ourselves. And I like always say, a lot of times we ourselves become the weapon that forms against ourselves. So when the Father has opened doors, the things begin to happen and individuals come and you prayed for help and the Father sends help, you're not able to recognize it. And then when it's come and you begin to receive it, you actually see it because it's not familiar or it's not what you are used to, what's not common, you reject it. This is not the time to reject the help that the Father sends. This is not the time to go back and hide in your cave. Your voice must be heard. There are people assigned to you and that you are assigned to. They must hear your voice in order for them to progress and go to the next place where the Father desires for them to go. There may be other voices speaking, but your voice is a voice that is necessary, that is anointed in the hour in which we are in to be able to draw these individuals unto the Father. Because the Father trusts you. He understands that you're not going to take his glory. You're going to direct his glory back to him. So he trusts you. So he's sending a people. A people that he knows that you will handle with care. And those individuals will also handle you with care. They will be able to differentiate. Yes, this is the Father speaking and this is just common being common. They're able to identify, to relate. They're able to respect. And they understand and they value what the Father has placed on the inside of you in this hour. They're not here to take advantage because they know that you may be a voice. They're not here to take advantage because they know that you can prophesy till thy kingdom come. They're not here to take advantage because they know that you're going to pray them out of every storm and situation. But they understand that there is a position in which the Father has them to fulfill, and they're fulfilling that. So once again, there is a new level of glory that the Father is releasing you into on this day, on this third day of the sixth month. There's a new level of glory. And you are in a place where now you are being revealed, no longer hidden, no longer hiding yourself, no longer being concerned about what they will think, no longer feeling as though your idea is not one of the best ideas when in fact it is, no longer putting what you have on the back burner on hold to make sure everybody else is okay. Now it's time for you to be selfish, not in a bad way, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes we have to get to the point where it's like, okay, Father, it's right now I need to do something for me. Father, I've been doing what you desire and require of me. I've been speaking and praying on behalf of your people, but right now it's time for this to be personal for me. Father, this is a personal moment, and I'm needing you to move for me and mine right now. I need you to answer prayers for me and mine. I need you to open doors for me and mine right now. I've been laboring for your people, but Father, right now I need you to move up for me and mine. I know as long as I'm taking care of your house, you're going to take care of mine. So Father, I need you to go ahead and act out on your word and do what it is that you said that you're going to do for your name's sake. You say you won't let me be put to shame, Father. So Father, because you say you won't let me be put to shame, you're obligated to move according to your very word. You said you honor this very word above your own name, and there are many names that we call you, Father. But you said you honor this very word. You said heaven and earth will pass away, but this very word will remain. You said for us to have this word embedded in our hearts that we might not sin against you. So Father, you indeed are obligated to move according to your very word. Even the angels, they move according to your very word. So, Father, we need you to move. You've already begun to do it. Some of us have not been in a place where we're able to perceive it. But, Father, forgive us for not being able to even recognize the new thing that you are doing and what you have already done. Father, give us an opportunity to go ahead and fix this. Give us an opportunity to go ahead, allow us to come back full circle so that way we don't miss this moment again. But I speak now that you will no longer miss the moment that the Father has for you. No longer will you walk around in shame with your head down because you feel as though other people are advancing and you aren't. The hand of God is upon you. The anointing rests upon you. You have a relationship with the Father. You can hear his voice. He said his sheep know his voice, and a stranger they won't follow. So, of course, many are not going to agree with you because you're not following absolutely any voice. You're following the voice of the Father. And because of that, many will not want to be close to you or connect to you because you cannot be controlled. You cannot be manipulated. They cannot form you and mold you into the voice of the person that they want to mold you into. I don't know who this is helping. This is helping somebody this morning. You cannot be controlled or manipulated to fit into their circle. This circle thing right now is not cutting it in this hour. who you're connected to is very important, but most of these clicks and these networks and stuff, help me, Holy Spirit, most of these networks and everything right now is not cutting it in this hour. God is not in many of these things. If God's not in it, we want to see the manifestation of the presence of God. We want to see the glory of God. We want to see miracle signs and wonders. We don't want to read about it. We want to experience and see it. What good is it to be connected to a group of people and there's no evidence of, oh my God, there's no evidence of change. There's no evidence of the anointing. There's no evidence of the miracles and signs and wonders that the Father said that we are able to do. He said, greater works shall we do. So where are the greater works and why are we not experiencing and why are we not seeing it? Why are we not the ones actually doing it if we ourselves are the miracle, the sign, and the wonder? So yes, who you're connected to matters. Just because it seems as though they open their hand and say, okay, look, I can help them, really mean that's the hand that the Father wants to assist you. They may see the anointing and the grace of God upon your life, and they understand as long as they are connected to you, it's what's going to benefit them and help them look great. Doesn't necessarily mean that's the help that God sent for you. It's the hour for you to have your eyes open and say, Father, open the eyes of my understanding. I want to be able to see well. Sharpen my discernment. I don't want to have the spirit of judgment, but I want to have true discernment. I want to be able to try the spirit by the spirit. And many of us are not able to even judge righteously according to the word of God because we ourselves have become so tainted. So us being able to judge righteously, we're condemning and we're judging. And God is not in it. The Father does not condemn. We condemn ourselves and we condemn others. So who you are connected to in this hour matters. But I give the Lord glory for what the Father is doing. I give the Lord glory for what he's doing in the lives of his people. This is a very strategic time, and the Father is aligning many of us. He sent destiny help us. He sent those who are going to assist us into the place where he desires us and vice versa. It's not about us, but it's about his will, plan, and purpose being fulfilled in the earth. We understand that there is a great commission that must be fulfilled. He compelled us to go out into all the world and draw them, paraphrasing, compel them to come. Not to draw them to ourselves, but to direct them to him. And many of us, we feel as though that we're fulfilling the Great Commission, but no, we have become selfish individuals. We've become to the point where we're drawing the people to ourselves and we're not directing them and leading them to the Father. So whenever they need help or whenever they're experiencing something or they desire the Father to move, they go directly to you instead of to the Father. That's a very dangerous place to be. Because you yourself have been taking the place of God. You'll begin to take the place of the Father, not where you want to be in this hour. That's not the place where you need to be in this hour. So for many of you, I would say, come from among them and reevaluate your circle, reevaluate yourself, reexamine yourself and say, okay, Father, am I in the right place? Father, am I dealing with the right crowd, with the right individuals? Has this what's been keeping me on hold for so long? Father, why am I still stagnant and stuck? Why have I not received my healing? Why have I not obtained what it is that you desire for me to obtain? Why is it not working? Get from among them. For many of us, that's all it takes for you to get among them. It looks good. It sounds good. But the words is, there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. So many are being led into a path of destruction in this hour. All for the sake of it looks good, it sounds good, they seem anointed because they have a crowd of individuals. Who cares about your crowd of individuals? Where are the miracles? Where are the signs? Where are the wonders? I don't want to hear about your tongue sounding great and you Rabba Shian de la Messiah. I don't want to hear all of that. I want to be able to see what is tangible. What is the Father doing in this hour? And how is he utilizing you? Aside from you gathering a group of individuals and trying to make your names great. It's more than just that. And things are not what it appears to be, so ask the Father, Father, is this what you want? Father, I need you to work on me. Y'all remember that song, work on me, Jesus, work on me, Jesus. I ain't a singer, you know, but glory to God. Some of us need to ask the Lord to work on us and sharpen us in other areas because we're still not getting it. Some of us, we're the reason for the holdup because we don't want to let go of those who we feel as though are the ones that we have idolized and we don't realize that we have idolized them. The Father can't speak to you because you feel as though he can only speak to another person. In order for you to find the next step and know what to do next, you got to hear from somebody else. The Father wants to speak to you on today. The Father wants to hear your voice today. The Father wants you to worship him and not man on today, since he doesn't have a hell or a heaven to put you in. This is not the hour to be distracted. It's not the time to be distracted. Once again, it's not the time to be distracted. So I just wanted to encourage you all once again on today to stay the course, to stay focused. I know I'm not doing a whole bunch of praying and a whole bunch of things right now, but sometimes we just have to have teachable moments. Sometimes we just have to be encouraged to say, okay, well, look, now I recognize maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's where I've gone wrong. Maybe that's what I need to change. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's what's been holding me up all this while. Maybe that's the reason why my business has not progressed. It's because of those who I've been connected to, those who have been praying over me and supposedly covering me, and maybe that's not the place where I need to be anymore. We know that there's constantly a changing of the gods, just like our armor changes. But many people don't even know that. The more you're equipped, the more you grow, the more you grow in grace, the more weaponry you receive, the more strengthened and empowered you become. So I want to encourage you to stay the course. Run this race and finish it well. He who started the work is faithful and just to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's not over for you. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world right now. The Father Jesus cannot come until the word is preached in all four corners of the earth. So there's no need to even have fear there. Because many of us are going to be the ones that the Father is using for this word to be preached in all four corners. How can you go if he does not send you? How can you go if there's nowhere, if you're not being trained and utilized properly? How can you go? How would you know what to do? So the Father is realigning many of us in this hour. What once worked will no longer work. So once again, I believe my time is complete, but I encourage you all to once again stay the course. Keep your focus. Don't by what you hear people are saying. Don't be moved and led by your emotions. Yes, they may have been helping you financially, but the Father has greater. Yes, they may have opened the door for you and affirmed you and ordained you, but the Father has a greater door. That oil will no longer work. You cannot pour new wine into old wineskins. It helped you get to the place where you are now, but the Father is saying, look, there's something more I require. There's something more I'm trying to get to you. So now I have to rearrange. I have to readjust some things. I have to shake some things up. So there's a shaking right now. You remember that game? I think it's like Scrabble or Bobble, one of those things where you could shake it up and throw the little things on the board, and whatever came, you had to get it. There's a shaking right now. But you need to make sure that you're in the right position of alignment. So that way, this glory that the Father is releasing in this hour, you'll be a recipient, a beneficiary of what the Father is doing. So it's an honor for you all on this morning. Thank you so much for your time, and I'm so grateful. Thank you so much again, Pastor Douglas, for the opportunity.
Thank you so much for that word, Apostle. I took a lot of notes because I'm a note taker, but two things stood out to me. Who are you connected to matters and come from among them. I just posted the other day is being connected to spiritual leeches. And when you said that, I said, oh, my God, I just said this. Being comfortable with people who have a lot of followers, or people can prophesy all the time. You know, it's a difference when you truly sit back and let God give you the discernment that you need to see who people truly are. And when you said that, my mind is like, wait a minute. I just said you got to be careful who you're connected to. And you came back and said the exact same thing. The Holy Spirit does not lie. You have to be mindful of your circle. Some of the people in your circle want to pull off your anointing, not pour into you. And you blessed me this morning. You bless me this morning. If you didn't bless anybody else with that phenomenal word from God, I thank you for coming on and sharing what the Holy Spirit gave you for his people. Father God, I ask you to give back what your servant gave out to your people, Father God. Bless her tremendously. Bless her family, Lord. Bless her business, Lord. Send an overflow for her coming on here and doing just what you told her to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Apostle, amen. Let people know how they can contact you if they want to hear a word from you or if they want to sow into you, even about your business. Let them know how they can contact you and where you're located.
Absolutely. So I'm in the wonderful state of Arkansas. Glory to God. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to see what the Lord is doing, but we give him glory. So I'm in the wonderful state of Arkansas. You're able to reach me. I have two websites, one for ministry and one for coaching. I do empowerment coaching, teachings, and things of that sort. The first website is www.carmenbarnescoaching.com. Those are listed with ministry assignments, things that we have upcoming. It has a list of different services that we offer. I also have another website, www.stepuponpurpose12.com. And that there is also more of an empowerment where I assist individuals as far as not just business alone, but even in their personal life. In life, in general, I assist people in so many different areas. I offer counseling. I do prayer. I have a university which I teach, and I have a bunch of students who come together. We gather. I train and I equip individuals. This is not me pulling people to myself, but I pour into the people, and they go out. That way they're able to become contagious with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and it continues to spread along the face of the earth. So I'm really excited about that. You're also able, if you are interested in giving and sowing seeds of that sort, even sowing your time, you're able to do so online once again under www.carmenbarnescoaching.com. Or if you wanted to do via Cash App, it's the $ Carmen Barnes and the number 82. I also have PayPal and all those things that are listed there as well. But overall, I just want to see the people of God progress. I want to see the people of God go beyond where they are. So I just want to be of help to God's people. So you're definitely able to reach out to me, whether it's on Facebook under Carmen Barnes as well. And I'll definitely get back with you. Thank you so much.
Again, thank you. Thank you so much. I tagged the show to you on Facebook, so if you want to go back and listen to it. Again, I thank you so very much for being obedient to God and saying yes to me for coming on the show this morning. May God bless you tremendously, and you have a phenomenal day, Apostle.
Amen. Thank you. Likewise.
Thank you guys for tuning in to World Gospel Connection. It is Women's Day Thursday. What a word on this morning. My God, if you didn't hear it, go back and listen again. Such a phenomenal word of God. Watch your circle. Who are you connected to? Come from among them and continue to ask God to work on you. Sometimes it's good to be selfish for God to bless your family. You pray for a lot of people. Apostle and I pray for a lot of people, and we want our family to be blessed, our children, our grandchildren to be blessed, our siblings to be blessed. We want you to be blessed. Continue to stand on the word of God. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm I hear you stand. I hear you stand. Because Bishop Sapp, when I look back over my life, I had to remember this position right here. It will win all the time.
Wonderful song to come after the woman of God. Check your circle. Open my eyes, God. Ask God to open your eyes. Remember, look at who you're connected to. If you're stagnated and you're in the same place and you're not going anywhere, check who you're connected to. That was so powerful and so real. Get from around them if you're not growing, if you're steady pouring into them and they're not pouring into you, get out of that circle. Recheck. Do a self-check on who you're with, who you're around, who you're supporting. Do a self-check on you. Check your circle. Those are my words for today. Check your circle. Remember, if you want to sow, you can at $WGC2020. If you want to go back and hear the word, what the woman of God gave today, you can always go back and listen in. Remember, people of God, God knows already. He just wants that one-on-one time with you. Stop letting people question who you are. As they say, the underdog, because you just stepped into ministry. You haven't been in the ministry but a couple of years, and they have years under their belt. Does not mean God cannot use you. He still can use you. Stay focused, stay in position, and let God be God. You can't take over. He can. Remember, if you want to order your bath bombs from Core Get the Gifts, you can text me at 832-816-7997, 2 for $7, 3 for $10. Again, Core Get the Gift, bath bombs, phenomenal. If you just need to breathe, Calgon, take me away experience, trust me, this is what you need. Thank you for joining us today on Women's Day Thursday. The phenomenal woman of God was Apostle Barnes. Woo, again, check your circle. You guys have a blessed day. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Well, good morning. You may take your seats. It's a privilege to be with you again, to have the opportunity. To be at Design for Life. I love gathering with you. I love the Lindells so much. I love this incredible church that sponsors this conference and the amount of prayer. You can tell, can't you, that they've already been praying for us, planning for us, that they didn't just throw this together last night. There's been a group of people that really have been on their knees asking God to meet us in this place. And so I celebrate that. And I wonder, even if before we jump into just a few simple thoughts I want to share with you today, I wonder if you join me in celebrating the Lindells, in celebrating James River Church, in celebrating the volunteers, everybody who's been paving the way for us. We are so grateful. We're so grateful. No small task. I mean, how would you feel about hosting 10,000 women at your house? Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we get to be in your presence in worship. Thank you that we get to be amongst the people of God in your presence, Father. But also, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I pray that in these next few moments that we have together over a simple portion of Scripture, that you would do what only you can. Take this one simple message. Would you divide it about 6,000 or 7,000 different ways so that every single person in the room will know they have been in the presence of God this morning, that they heard your word. We're expectant, Lord. We're your daughters. We're sitting on the edge of our seat to hear what it is that you will speak to our hearts. It is in Jesus' name, the matchless name of Jesus Christ, the name at which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. It is in that name that we pray. Come on, let the daughters of God say amen. Amen. As Savannah mentioned to you just a moment ago, I am the mother of 3 boys. That is my full-time job, trying to feed these people. I have giant children. I've got 3 giant boys. 14, he's getting ready to turn 15 in a couple weeks, and then I have a 13-year-old, and I have a 9-year-old, and y'all, they are just big, big old boys. My 14-year-old is 6'2", and wears a size 14 shoe. So I'm just trying to feed them. That is my whole life mission, is to try to figure out a new way to cook chicken for dinner every day so that I can get enough food into their bellies. And it is our joy to rear them and raise them, me and Jerry. I was thinking about something that happened with Jude and I, our youngest. Jackson, Jerry Jr., and Jude. Jude is our surprise boy. We still don't know how Jude got here. And I told you this before, but when I had him, he was our surprise boy, and we named him Jude on purpose because that's as close as I could get to Revelation, because it is finished. It's over. It's the end of the line. And I was sitting on an airplane with Jude. We were happened to be sitting looking out the window that was right over the wing of the airplane. And I could see my little boy. He must have been about 7 or so at the time. I could see him just sort of pensively staring at the wing of the airplane and considering it thoughtfully. And finally, after a few moments, he looked back over at me and he said, "Mom, how do they get that thing to stick on the plane? How do they get that thing connected? How do they make it stay?" Well, I looked back at him and answered the only way I knew how. I said, "But buddy, you can ask your Uncle Vaughn." Jerry's brother, their dad's brother, is Uncle Vaughn. And Vaughn happens to work in the airline industry. That's what he does, is he connects the wiring and the vanes that makes the pieces of the airplane stick together. So this was kind of a little teachable moment I was having with Jude. I said, "Listen, when we get back home, you got to talk to your Uncle Vaughn because he can explain this to you. It's really actually pretty exciting. I'm sure he can try to make sure you understand the nuances of how the wing gets on the airplane." And I thought I'd take it a step further, this conversation, and I said to him, "Jude, do you know that when you grow up, you can be anything in the world that you want to be? You do know that, right? Like, you can do exactly what your Uncle Vaughn does when you grow up if you want to. You know, if you want to be a doctor, you can be a doctor. If you want to be a lawyer, you can be a lawyer. If you want to be a singer, you can be a singer. You have so much potential in you. You can do exactly what your Uncle Vaughn does when you grow up if you'd like to." He looked back at me and he said, "Mom, I don't want to do what Uncle Vaughn does when I grow up. I want to do what you do when I grow up." You know where you have that moment, your heart gets warm, your kid does something, and it just makes you want to melt and say, "Baby, just whatever you want. What do you want? I will do it for you today." And then in the next moment, it all comes crumbling down. Has that ever happened? So I looked back over at my boy and I said, "Oh, well, buddy, what does Mama do?" I had expectations about what his answer could be. I didn't know if he would say, "Mom, I would love to tell people about Jesus." I didn't know if he'd say, "I'd love to write when I grow up." I didn't know exactly what his answer would be. But he looked back at me and he said, "Mom, I want to do nothing when I grow up, just like you. You do nothing all day, every day, you do nothing." I said, "Buddy, you see them clean clothes you got on today? How do you think you got those clean clothes? Or you know how you eat a homemade meal on a fairly regular basis? How do you think those meals are getting cooked?" He was like, "Well, you know, that's just like regular mom stuff." I said, "Buddy, do you know how every now and then I have the privilege to stand in front of a group of people and share God's word, and that means I have to study first. You know, every now and then there's a new book or a Bible study, and I have to write that thing." And he said, "Yeah, but you're just sitting behind the computer all day, every day, doing nothing." Now, I share this next part with you just to make a point. I hope that at least many of you will know me well enough to know that I just really want to make a point by sharing this part with you. Yesterday, or the day after I had this conversation with Jude, I thought the timing was interesting, that our publisher emailed me, sent me an email to keep me updated on something that she knows that I don't normally keep myself updated on. She wanted me to know that a little book I had written called Fervent several years ago, she wanted me to know that that book was on the New York Times bestseller list and that it had won several awards. That's what she emailed to tell me. She knows that, you know, when you're trying to feed three boys, you ain't got time to keep up with such things. And so she emailed me to let me know that. I appreciated the email, but I could only chuckle when I read it because I immediately thought back to my conversation with Jude the day before. That while I was doing what to him looked like absolutely nothing, I was actually crafting something that hopefully had amounted to something that had blessed people's lives. And I thought to myself how often it is that I consider my relationship with God in the exact same way, that I feel like God is doing nothing, that I'm praying and he's not hearing. My circumstances are not changing. I look at the details of my life and I feel like he is absolutely doing nothing all day, every day, disconnected from my life, when all the while, most often when we feel like God is doing nothing, y'all, he is crafting chapter after chapter with the story of your life. That he's fully engaged and fully invested in the details of all of our everyday living. He is never not doing nothing. I believe in the sovereignty of God. Somebody say sovereignty. God's sovereignty is one of his characteristics that I am most intrigued by. There are many, but I love thinking about the sovereignty of God. When you get a grasp on it, it really does give you a sense of rest and peace and stability in your life. God's sovereignty is his overarching orchestration of all that happens in time and eternity. God's sovereignty means that God existed before time began. That is pre-Genesis 1-1. Because y'all know the only reason why there was a Genesis 1-1 was because God was already there so that he could say, let there be, and there was. He was in eternity past. He has been there and done that. He has seen all of time from the beginning of the spectrum of time, Genesis 1-1, all the way through to the end of time, which you and I have not yet seen. And he has already been into eternity future. The entire spectrum of eternity and time, he's already been there and done that. But sovereignty does not just mean he's seen it all. Sovereignty means, listen, that the whole thing is in the palm of his hand. Sovereignty is what lets us do what Psalm 46:10 says. Be still. Chill out. Relax. And know that I am God. Providence is his overarching control of the throes of the universe. I'm sorry, sovereignty is his overarching control of the throes of the universe. But within that big umbrella of his sovereignty, there is providence. Providence is the working of the details of your life and mine. When we feel like he's doing nothing, when we feel like our days are just filled with regular 8-to-5 things, or when we run into tragedy or difficulty, providence is knowing that God is orchestrating the details of our days and our lives and our encounters and our opportunities, that he's actually ordering our footsteps. Providence is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. I've got plans that are designed to give you a hope and a future. Providence is Ephesians 2:10, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand. Providence means you can trust God with the stuff of your life because he's orchestrating it all. I love God's providence as seen throughout Scripture, that he shows up everywhere, even in the most unlikely places, even in the places when he seems, and the seasons of our life, y'all, when he seems most distant or most disengaged, that we can trust that when we can't trace his hand, we can trust his heart, that he's there, fully present, fully engaged, fully invested in the details of our life. That's what we get from Scripture, because he's everywhere. Even in the books of the Bible, you know, in Esther, the name of God isn't even really overtly mentioned, and yet he's there in the book, working and orchestrating all throughout the Scriptures from the beginning to the end. It reminds us about the sovereignty and the providence of God. Right from the very beginning in Genesis, y'all, we see that he is the breath of life. In Exodus, he shows up as the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is our high priest. In Numbers, he's the fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's Israel's guide. In Joshua, he's salvation's choice. In Judges, he is Israel's guard. In Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, we see him as sovereign. In Ezra, he's the true and faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the one who rebuilds walls and he rebuilds lives. In Esther, he is our courage. In Job, he's the timeless redeemer. In Psalms, he's our morning song. In Proverbs, he is our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he's a time and a season. In the Song of Solomon, he's the lover's dream. In Isaiah, he's the prince of peace. In Jeremiah, he's the weeping prophet. In Lamentations, he's the cry for Israel. Israel. In Ezekiel, he's the call from sin. In Daniel, he's the stranger that will show up in your fire. In Hosea, he's the forever faithful. In Joel, he's the Spirit's power. In Amos, he's the strong arms that carry. In Obadiah, he's the Lord our Savior. In Jonah, he's the great missionary. In Micah, he's the promise of peace. In Nahum, he's our strength and shield. In Habakkuk and Zephaniah, he's the one that brings revival. In Haggai, he restores anything that has been lost. And in Zechariah, he is our fountain. And in Malachi, at the end of the Old Testament, we see him as the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. And that's just who he is in the Old Testament. Amen. Because you give him a little time, wait about 400 years, and then in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find out he's not just God, now he's your Messiah. And in the Spirit-filled book of Acts, he's the raining fire from heaven. In Romans, he's the grace of God. Corinthians, he's the power of love. Galatians, he's freedom from the curse of sin. In Ephesians, he's our glorious treasure. In Philippians, he's the servant's heart. In Colossians, he's God and the Trinity. In Thessalonians, he's our calling king. In Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, he's our mediator and our faithful pastor. In Hebrews, he's the everlasting courage. In James, he's the one who will heal you when you're sick. In 1st and 2nd Peter, he's our faithful shepherd. In John and Jude, he's the lover coming for his bride. And in the Revelation, in the very end, he was and is and will always be the first, the last, the beginning and the end. Amen. The scriptures remind us that he is always there, woven throughout every story. And as Debbie was so beautifully unwrapping for us the mystery of God, that sometimes it sounds to us, regular old girls like us, it sounds so big and so grand and so beyond us that we tend to disassociate our regular lives from that mystery. We can't imagine that a regular housewife like us or a corporate woman like us or that a single woman like us or a teenager in high school or college student in university, you can't imagine that someone with regular skills and regular talents and who lives in a normal neighborhood and works on a normal job, you can't imagine that you could fit into that mystery. And I came to tell you that the details of all of our regular lives are threads in the great, grand, huge, miraculous, glorious mystery of our great God. That there's nobody here that's removed, that is too far gone, that your story doesn't count in that mystery. There is a story in Scripture. I think they're going to put it on the screens. I'm going to read several portions of 1 Samuel chapter 9 to you, because this is not ever, to me, more clearly seen than in this one little portion of Scripture about the life of Saul. Saul, the one who would be the king of Israel. His story starts this way. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, I'm going to read several verses throughout this chapter. Listen. Verse 9 says, "Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish." That verse goes on to list all the lineage of Kish. And then it says at the end of verse 1 that he was a Benjamite, a mighty man of valor. Verse 2 says, "And he had a son whose name was Saul." Listen to Saul's resume. He was a choice and handsome man. There was not a more handsome person than he among the sons of Israel. He stood from his shoulders up taller than any of the people. Verse 3. "Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So Kish said to his son Saul, 'Take with you one of the servants and arise, go and search for this donkey.'" Talk about a mundane, regular, ordinary old task. Verse 15. "Now the day before Saul's coming, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel, the prophet. He had told Samuel," verse 16, "'About this time tomorrow, I'm going to send you a man from the land of Benjamin. And when he shows up, you shall anoint him to be prince over my people, Israel. And he shall deliver my people from the hands of the Philistines, for I have regarded my people because their cry has come up before me. Verse 17. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord whispered to him, hey, this is the one. It's the guy I spoke to you about. This one shall rule over my people. Verse 22 through 24. Then Samuel, he took Saul and his servant. He brought them to this great hall. He gave them a place at the head of those who were invited, who were about 30 men. And Samuel said to the cook, hey, remember that portion that I told you to set aside yesterday? Verse 24, this is the time. Bring it out. Set it before Saul. And Samuel said, here is what has been reserved. Somebody say it's been reserved for me. Here is what was reserved. Set it before you and eat, because it has been kept for you until the appointed time. It's amazing to me how sometimes it's just donkeys that are connected to destiny. Sometimes it's just the most regular, mundane assignment that we don't even recognize in the moment is actually the pathway to something bigger and grander that the Lord has allowed us to be included in the story that he is crafting in this generation. I have a tendency, you have a tendency, to despise the small things, the small little errands that we've been requested to run, the needs that arise in a regular daily life like yours and mine. In this case, there is a man named Saul. He has been described as distinct among all the people. He stands head and shoulders above them all. He is more handsome than them all. If he were to be on Instagram, we would definitely be following him, because he had perfectly lit selfies. Verse 2 tells us and shows us his selfies. He is choice. He is handsome. His resume is one for the record books. And yet, what is going to connect him to his God assignment, to his part of the mystery that the Lord is allowing his thread to be connected with in the bigger story that he has for his people, will not be how choice he appears in verse 2. It will be a simple, mundane errand that he's asked to run in verse 3. I love that verse 2 and verse 3 are so closely connected to each other. You know, I believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, meaning that I believe every T is crossed, every I is dotted as it should be. I not only believe that there are no errors in the Scripture, I actually believe that the placement of the books of the Bible as they are, and the verses as they are, the chapters as they are, that those are inspired as well. And so when I come across two verses that do something either contrasting or comparatively that draw my attention, I lean in carefully to see why the Lord would have placed these two particular portions of Scripture that closely connected to each other. That's why I'm drawn to the fact that in verse 2, we see Saul's resume. And in verse 3, we see a simple errand that he is humble enough that he is willing to submit all of the grandeur of verse 2 to be willing to run this mundane, ordinary errand in verse 3. It occurs to me that in most of our lives, we are riding on the coattails of our verse 2. We want people to be impressed with the way we appear on social media. We want to be savvy and flashy, and we're hoping that that will sustain us and carry us and include us in the bigger plans of God. That if we're gifted enough, if we're talented enough, if we stand head and shoulders above everybody else, or at least appear to, that will be what includes us in the plan of God. But in Saul's story, it's not verse 2, it's verse 3. His willingness to run a simple errand that connected him with the promises of God. I want to ask you, if you've been turning up your nose at the mundane, regular things that God has set before you to do, I want to ask you if you've ignored the simple details of your life, the errands that you've got to run, the dishes that need to get done, you know, the laundry that you washed and you dried, but it's just dumped out on the dining room table waiting for somebody to come and fold it. The dinner that needs to be cooked, the assignment that needs to be written, the details that need to be crafted throughout the regular course of your day just to make life work day in and day out. Sometimes we turn our noses up at those errands, not realizing that sometimes it's the donkeys that lead to destiny. Sometimes it's the simple errands that we want somebody else to take care of because we were made for bigger and better things. We're riding on the coattails of our verse 2, and we don't even realize that verse 2 is not the connection. It's not what God is looking for. It's the one who's willing faithfully and diligently to say yes, sir, to the assignment that is in front of them to do. Listen to me. You want to know what God's will is for your life? That's the question we have. What is God's will for my life? I want to know what God wants for me to do. And what we really mean when we ask that question is that we want to know what he has for us for the next 20 years. Isn't that what we want to know? We want to know 20 years from now what his will for our life looks like. And most often when we want to know what God has for us for 20 years from now, his response is, if I can just get you to be obedient for the next 20 minutes, we'll be on our way somewhere. Elizabeth Elliot said, you want to know God's will? Here it is. Do the next thing. That is God's will. You're here in this conference. Be fully here. Because guess what? Here you are. Be fully and engaged and invested in the task that is at hand. Instead of trying to so busily with our ambitions are trying to climb some ladder, trying to look a certain way. And in doing so, we miss out on the beauty and the bounty of the regular, mundane, ordinary tasks to which he has assigned us. We miss out on the character that it's supposed to build in us, the backbone it was designed to fortify in us, the humility it was supposed to develop in us. We miss out on it because we think that mundane task couldn't be for me because I've got some verse 2 stuff going on. I've got some importantness about me, some giftedness, some potential in me, and I want to use that, and so I'm just going to wait till God calls me to bigger and better things. So we ignore the donkeys, not realizing that the donkey is connected to your destiny. Just waiting. He's just waiting for somebody to be willing to do the next thing, to do what he's called us to do. I am stunned, y'all, at how many divine occurrences throughout the course of Scripture were connected to regular, ordinary people who were willing to do regular, ordinary things. I'm drawn to Rebecca, who was just going to a well to draw water, a regular, ordinary, daily, sometimes more than once daily assignment. It would have been a taxing duty for her to have that water on her shoulders day in and day out, drawing enough to meet the needs of her family. But on this one particular day, she goes to do this mundane task in obedience and diligence. And by the way, she doesn't go upset and mad and frustrated and with the wrong attitude to do the task. She goes with an attitude of willingness, humility, and generosity. She has no idea that on this day, that regular assignment, that regular mundane detail is going to lead her to the meeting of her spouse. Because on that day, Abraham has sent a servant saying, look for the one who the Lord will send to marry Isaac. She's just going to draw water from a well. Or Joseph, he has no idea when he's in prison, a circumstance that he does not particularly care for, that he does not want to be in. He has no idea that even while he's there, his willingness to use his gift to interpret the dreams of two people, 2 years later, his willingness to do that would literally be the key that unlocks the prison doors that set him free. In Exodus chapter 1, a mother who's just afraid for the life of her little baby, she has no idea that when she just does the best that she can and she crafts a little basket for him to set him a sail on the Nile River so that hopefully he will find some safety, she has no idea that just in being the best mother that she can, that she is sending off a man named Moses who will be raised as the prince of Egypt and who will become the deliverer for the children of Israel. And then there are some shepherds in Luke 24. These shepherds are out just doing what they do, just tending a flock of sheep. They have no idea that while they sit out under the star-lit sky, that this will be the day when they're just about the business of doing the ordinary task at hand. They have no idea that this is the night that the sky will break open and the heavenly host will announce the arrival of Jesus Christ the Lord. If he's asked you to tend sheep, y'all, tend the sheep. If he's asked you to go to the well and draw water, well, then you go to the well and you draw water. Whatever it is he's called you to do, come on, y'all. We got to do it with all of our might. We do not know that if Saul's father lost this donkey because of neglect, because he was not doing what he needed to do and lost his donkey, he wasn't responsible and lost the donkey. We don't know if it was because of neglect or just because life happens, because some things like that just occur. We do not know the details of why the donkey is lost. I love that that detail is left out, because then I can just make it broad enough for all of us to consider the fact that there are some burdens, I know, in a group this size you've been asked to bear. And some of it is just a reality of the life that you're living right now, the season of life that you're in, that this bucket of water you've been asked to carry is heavier than you expected it to be in this season. This errand you've been sent on to chase this donkey is taking longer. For Saul, it did. It took him through 3 different provinces and took much longer than he anticipated. In fact, he got so frustrated at how time-consuming this was, he actually wanted to throw in the towel. You can read there in that chapter. He wanted to give up and just go back home. And it occurs to me that in a group this size, there are some of you that are bearing some mundane, ordinary life tasks. And really, it's not as a result of just life. Some of it has happened because of the neglect of other people in your life. That your spouse really isn't pulling his weight. That your mom or dad have dropped the ball. That your coworker, if that coworker, you know that one coworker, that one that if she says one more thing to you, you go knock her out. That one. Man, if she just pull her weight, you'd have less to bear. It occurs to me that in a group this size, there are very many of us that are burdened with tasks, that because of someone else's neglect, we are carrying more than we ever thought we would or that we think we should. And yet, Saul was willing. And because he was humble enough to just say, okay, it doesn't matter why the donkey got lost, but I've been tasked. My father has asked me to go find the donkey, so I'm going to be willing to do the mundane assignment, to wash the dishes again, to change yet another dirty diaper, to go back up to the school to meet with the teachers about my teenage son or daughter, that I'm going to be the one who will faithfully study, who will faithfully be in God's Word, whether or not there is an audience listening to hear what it is that my Bible study produces, that I'm going to be willing and diligent to write the lyrics to this song, whether or not there's a recording contract on the other end, that I'm going to be diligent to put pen to paper and write this blog post that I feel like the Lord has given me, whether or not anybody comes to my blog and actually reads it. Because I'm not doing it to impress people. I'm doing it in surrender and humility to my great God. What has God called you to do? Do it. Do it. Your God assignment is waiting on you when you walk back home tomorrow. It's what's right in your house. It's what's right on your job. The job that you've been trying to leave for the last year and for some reason the Lord won't move you on. The neighborhood that you've been trying to get out of, you've been trying to buy a house in this neighborhood, but the Lord for some reason keeps you in this neighborhood. Those deals keep falling through and you just can't move and you're hemmed in on every side. You can't figure out why the Lord won't let you move on to that organization or leave this church to go to this church. He's got you hemmed in this place where you are. That is where he wants you to be. And if you'll be faithful to the task that is at hand in this season, in this place, you'll be amazed how that particular donkey is designed to lead you to your destiny. Because Saul could never have known that the Lord had gone before him, that he had already whispered his name in Samuel the prophet's ears. He had said to him, there is someone coming. I will point him out to you when he gets here. If Saul will be humble enough, faithful enough to go on the assignment that he has been given, mundane, regular, ordinary assignment, if he'll do it, he will intersect his path with yours. And when he shows up, I'll make sure that you know it's him. I need somebody in the room to know that God has already whispered your name to somebody. He has already set, this is what providence is, y'all. Providence is when the Lord goes before you and lights up steps you don't even know you're going to take yet. Providence is when he goes before you to set up answers to problems you don't even know you're going to have. Providence is when he makes provision for you, when he's whispered your name. Somebody needs to know in the room, there is an employer that already has your name on their hearts. There's already a spot that is in need of your gifts and your talents and what you can bring to the table. It's waiting on you. If only you'll do what he's put in front of you to do today, you will be on the right path to intersect with the divine plan that God has for your life and for this generation. Do you know in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, it says that the Lord is looking for something. It says that the Lord is looking. It boggles my mind that he's looking for anything, that our God could be looking for anything. It says that God is on the lookout. He's looking. He's trying to find somebody whose heart is wholly his, who's fully surrendered and submitted, who's not trying to be impressive and applauded by the people, who's not so arrogant and needy and has so much hubris that they'll only do the things that put them in the position of verse 2. He said, I'm looking for some verse 3 people, some folks that can just go ahead and take my assignment, whatever it is for them. He says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, I'm looking for those kinds of people. When I find them, he says, I'm going to lend my strong support and my strong favor to anybody whose heart is wholly mine. I don't know about you, but I'm after the strong support of God. Anybody? I want his favor on my life more than I want to impress people. Forgive us, Lord, when we've been more interested in verse 2, standing head and shoulders above the rest, having more followers and more friends and more applause than all the rest. Forgive us, Lord, for making everything so whitewashed and clean and perfectly looking in our life that we have forgotten we were not made to impress people. We were made for the applause of heaven. Do you know most of the people that we admire? Most of the people, y'all, at least me, I'm sure I can get a witness in the house about this, but most of the folks that we really want to be close to, and I mean like women that have gone before us, women that maybe have walked the road a little bit longer than us, the people who I want to sit at their feet and just listen for a little while and hear what they're saying and what they're thinking and where they've been and what they've done, what attracts me to them is not because they were impressive. What attracts me to them is this quality right here. That's what draws us in. It draws us in that they stayed the path, as Bobby Houston would say. They stayed the course. Like, how have you been married for 54 years? What? You raised your kids, and they're doing well. You got grandkids now. I want to sit at the feet of women like that. I want to know, tell me about your story. They might not have the most notoriety. They might not be impressive to people. But what they did was chase whatever donkey that the Lord put in their life to chase. They were on a mission to be obedient to God, no matter what that looked like. And the reason why we're drawn to people like this, the reason why we want to know about them and we want to be connected to them, is because this characteristic of humility and willingness to do what is assigned to us, that characteristic is more like Jesus than almost anything else. Because Jesus, being in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped. But taking on the form of a bondservant, he humbled himself. He humbled himself even to the point of death on a cross, y'all. He emptied out himself. And you and I are often so full of ourselves that we can't do what it is that God has called us to do. We're so busy climbing up the ladder. We get to the top of the ladder of success only to look down and realize that Jesus is still at the bottom washing feet. So what have you been asked to do? The beautiful mystery of God in our generation requires that you and I do what he's called. His providence makes it so that none of those ordinary things are disconnected from his glory being displayed. It's leading you somewhere. It's taking you somewhere to a divine intersection. And when Saul showed up, Samuel said, hey, I got a meal for you. I didn't just cook it yesterday. I didn't just cook it 5 minutes ago. Actually, yesterday, Saul, we were making this meal, and I already told the cook, put some aside. So Saul, come on over here. Sit at the head of the table. And he says to the cook, listen, do you remember that meal I had reserved? Somebody say it's been reserved. I need somebody to know that you are not delayed. You are not behind. Even if you think you've wasted a few years and you've not been on the mission that God has compelled you to be, but you feel like you want to go home and go ahead and put your hand to the plow and stay the course and get back in the game, I need you to know there's some good news today. What God has for you has been reserved for you. It's got your name on it. It's been put off to the side just waiting for you to show up. And when you do, it'll be placed in front of you to enjoy. I want to tell you in closing, there's a woman named Karen Abercrombie. You all know Karen Abercrombie as Miss Clara in the movie War Room. Karen Abercrombie is a real actress. That's what she does for a living. It is her craft. She went to school for it. Karen Abercrombie came up in the ranks with other actors and actresses who, if I said their names, you would know all of them. She went to school with them. She lived in L.A. with them. They have all now won Oscars and climbed the ladder and are in magazines. And she came up in the ranks with these same contemporaries. And she explained to me how through the years she has sat back and been so discouraged because she watched them get all the parts for all of these blockbuster movies. She watched them continue to excel in their craft and in their field, and she just felt so left out. Matters got worse when she would turn down roles that she was offered because as a person of faith, she just didn't want to say that, and she didn't want to do that. It just didn't gel well with her. She felt conviction about certain things, so she would just say no. Her agent, she told me when she was in Los Angeles, her agent thought she was crazy that she would turn down some of those roles for which now other people were going to get awards and recognition, but she just couldn't do it, so she just said no. Matters got even worse when her husband needed to move out of Los Angeles for work. He moved into Charlotte, North Carolina, and anybody that is in the field of acting knows if you're serious about it, you do not move out of Los Angeles to Charlotte, North Carolina. And there she sat in Charlotte. And you know what? She just said, okay, I'm discouraged. I'm disappointed. This is not what I had planned for my life. But you know, here I am. So she started an acting school, and she just started teaching young people who wanted to be thespians and who wanted to know about the craft and the skill of acting. And then she just kept auditioning for small roles and doing things that she could. She just was faithful with what was in front of her, her husband, her son, the students that the Lord had given her. Little did she know that there were some movie producers that of all the places in the world where they could have filmed the movie, there was just something about a little suburb 20 minutes outside of Charlotte, North Carolina called Concord, where they decided it would be the best place to film a movie called War Room. And I remember when we started shooting, I arrived 2 weeks early. And we sat in a casting room with the directors and the writers of the film. And they said to me, Priscilla, we need to pray. We need to pray because the heart and soul of this movie is this Miss Clara character. And we have auditioned person after person, woman after woman, and we can't find anybody to capture this role. Will you pray with us that God somehow will providentially bring the right person at the right time to fill this position? We grabbed hands together, y'all, 2 weeks before we started, and we asked God to bring us a Miss Clara. The last resort for the writer and the director was to send word throughout the churches in Charlotte. If there's anybody that would like to audition for this role, we'd love to see them. We've tried every which way we can, the traditional ways to find an actor, and we cannot. So please let us know if there's anyone in your church. A couple of days later, Karen Abercrombie, with a wig on, dressed in a big robe, waddled in her 70-something-year-old way. She's in her 50s, but she waddled in as Miss Clara, and they knew immediately she was the one. When War Room began to influence people the way it did on such a broad scale. We were not anticipating that. We're so grateful that the Lord really galvanized his people in all walks of life toward the power of prayer. When that happened and it began to spread far and wide, Miss Clara, Karen Abercrombie called me up one day with tears rolling down her face, and she said, now I realize why the Lord didn't let me do all of that, because what she discovered is that the directors of the film, any actor they hired, they would look back at their resume. If there was anything that would compromise the integrity of their role in this film, they would not hire them, no matter how good they were. So she said to me, Priscilla, I realized that this was reserved for me. And even if the Lord had to